Eyewear designer, I got it. Nigerian optometrist, I got it. Dope eyewear designs, I got it. Join me today as we tap in with Dr. Amaka. She's going to grace you with some amazing eyewear designs and put you on the knowledge about the Nigerian culture. Let's tap in, baby.
This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Today, I'm super excited. I'm fresh off the NOA, had an amazing conference down in Fort Lauderdale. Before I even go any further, I want to give a shout out to the National Optometric Association. Fantastic job. Great conference, great networking, great CE, but most importantly, great eyewear. On today's show, I have an amazing guest, a star in eye care. We actually went to school together back in our PCO days, but I'm not going to let it all out the bag. But she's Nigerian, she's an eyewear designer, and she's truly changing the game. She has created masterpieces when it comes to anything that relates to eye care, that relates to eyewear, I should really say. Friends and family, I'd like to welcome my colleague, my friend, Dr. Amaka. How are you doing today? Unmute yourself there.
Okay, there we go. Hello. Now we got some audio. Now we cooking. Hey, thank you so much for having me on the show, Daryl, Dr. Glover. Really appreciate it. I completely share your sentiments about NOA. Fort Lauderdale was a time. We definitely had a time. And it was definitely great to reconnect with all of our people. And our PCO folks, especially. Yes, the true story, we did go to school together. Okay. That was a time also, a different time and place. And I remember back then you had, I think it was you that coined the phrase, what was it? Saving eyes, changing lives.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was saying all types of wild and crazy stuff back then in school.
But it was so relevant.
You don't know about the old Daryl Glover back in the day, but some of y'all know all about it, you know.
But it was true. Even then, we were saving eyes, changing lives. And I remember when you started the podcast, and I was like, oh, he is on to something. And Real Recognize Real. And I love the podcast and what you've done for optometry. So I'm super excited to be here today.
Well, hey, look, I'm super excited to be here with you today, and I'm super excited to see you this past weekend. You know, before we get started, I always like to share, who am I talking to? You know, where are you from? What's your why into jumping into eye care? Let's just kind of walk down the story of your background before we jump into your journey as an optometrist and as an eyewear designer, if you don't mind, Dr. Amaka.
Okay, cool. So I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. I am first generation Nigerian American. So typically, you know how this goes in the African households. They told me I was going to be a doctor. And I think out of all of, well, my brother's an engineer, but I went the path of the whole doctor thing and I was super excited. One of the aunties told my dad that all the doctors, all the Black doctors went to Xavier. So he insisted that we check out Xavier University of Louisiana. And so we went down there and I fell in love with the school, with the culture. And I ended up going to Xavier for undergrad. So the whole time I was an undergrad, I was going to go to medical school. Okay, so we were flowing with that. And then the MCAT showed us a little bit of Katrina's part of the story too. The MCAT, you might want this. And so I always like to tell people that optometry was actually my plan B. And this is also a little known fact about me and optometry. Tiffany, Dr. Humes is who brought me to optometry. We were riding down St. Charles in New Orleans. And I was like, girl, I don't know what I'm going to do. I had no idea what I was going to do after senior year. And now everybody takes this like cute little gap year, but really, back then, I was terrified. Like, well, okay, we didn't spend all this time at Xavier. We thought we were going to be a doctor. and we took this MCAT and it was a mess. And so like, where are we going from here? Tiffany's like, girl, you need to come on over to optometry, literally word for word. And so yeah. That summer after my senior year, I reprepped for the MCAT, but I also started looking at optometry schools. And yeah, that's kind of how we got to optometry school.
I love it. And, you know, I always tell people, folks may say it's a plan B, but no, that was the real plan. That was God's plan. You know, he put you in a position to jump into the world of vision. Because, again, I always say it on this podcast, we have the opportunity to help people every day with the most precious sense, which is sight. And not only are we, you know, fantastic with the eyes, but the eyes dictate so much that's going on with the body. So you truly are in your calling. And clearly your journey through eye care has shown that, you know. So I really want to jump into this journey, because you've had a hell of a journey. I know you went to PCO. I know you graduated and you became an optometrist. Kind of walk me through the path of, you know, where you work, what mode of practice. What does that look like?
Absolutely. So after optometry school, I did a residency down at Omni Eye Services in Atlanta. And I think I thought I was going to do something with academics, right? So again, here we are. I get down to that residency and I'm like, oh, no. This isn't going to work for my socialite lifestyle. And so I actually, you know, and honestly, like a shout out to just what NOA, NOSA, and all those kind of things can do, because I was connected through NOSA with the Walmart recruiter.
Okay.
So after my residency, I said to myself, okay, well, we're done with academia. We're not going to do that. And I was like, I really actually don't really care to work for anybody. And so I started talking to the recruiter to figure out how I could get myself a lease. And so I ended up getting a lease with Sam's Club, which was back in 2013. I went from my residency right into my lease. And I had that lease for a little while. And then I got my Walmart lease, and you know, and then I had two leases, and then at one point I had three. So then I scaled back to figure out, you know, how to really be able to provide the kind of care that I wanted to provide for my patients, and still have some time left, you know, for my life. And so that is kind of how I ended up in the Walmart setting, which I love. But in practice, right, this is kind of where it gets to, you know, kind of what shifted my vision. In practice, I had so many patients that would like come, you know, even the part where they get to the glasses and they say, man, nothing out there fit me. And so that's when I started to connect the dots that nothing out there fit me either. Not just in the Walmart setting, because I had, you know, in your career, you do fill in for doctors. I did high end offices. I did, you know, some lower end offices or just normal family practices. And I would try on frame after frame, board after board, high end, low end, middle end, nothing ever really fit my face. I always felt like the glasses were smushing my face. So the idea started flowing, and I had it in the back of my mind. And, you know, that's kind of where the inception of Emily Eyewear came from, because I was like, they having this problem. Yeah. I'm having this problem. They're putting women's faces into these men's glasses, or making people get these sunglasses. Even the sunglasses look like they're squeezing their face. And I'm like, we could do something about this. This could be different. And that's really where the start of Amelie came along.
I love that. I love that you saw a problem and you thought about a solution and you really thought it thoroughly through, because you could feel it yourself. You felt the pain point, right? You go out, you look for frames and they don't fit your face properly. And then boom. All of a sudden, you found this, you created this eyewear line. I really want to dive deep into this eyewear line, because it is a game changer. I've been able to hold the product, put the product on my face, and having a bigger head and needing longer temples, it fits fantastically, right?
I appreciate you saying that.
Kind of jump into, you know, what this journey looked like, right? Because as optometrists, it's one thing to sit in that exam lane and prescribe the right solution, get glasses and contacts and full scope medical optometry, but you're adding an additional layer on it. You're designing frames. You're also playing the role of operations. You're also playing the role of the marketing. You're also playing the role of designer. I mean, like, this is a lot to take on. So I really kind of, you know, take it from the beginning with that and kind of walk me through you know, what that journey looked like. I mean, where did you start? Because there are eyewear designers out there or people that want to become designers and they have no clue where to start. So maybe you can kind of take a step back and tell us, how did you get started? What was the first step? Let's kind of walk our way through that.
Well, first step was kind of, you know, was the inception, the thought. And I think sometimes when you make up your mind that you're going to do something, then you start to look for ways to get it done. And so when I first had the inception of the thought, that was kind of around 2017, 2018. And I'm like Googling how to make glasses, you know? And I just, because I practice in that retail setting, which I have no shame saying at all, I hadn't been as exposed to frame reps, so to speak, or different things like that. So I'm just looking, just cold Google search. How do you do this? How do you make glasses? And really, there were no answers on Google. Not one answer about manufacturing glasses. They kind of sometimes take you to like a little sketchy website. And then I saw some stuff for for like, you know, private label. And that really wasn't what I wanted to do. You know, that's right. A way to present fashion. And there's nothing, you know, that should be taken from that. But that wasn't what I wanted to do because I knew that I wanted different sizes. I'm like, I can't just go in a catalog and find these sizes because they don't exist. I actually did some research too. I started polling opticians about, you know, what were some of the pain points that they were experiencing when they were fitting these patients or Black patients, you know, is there anything that people noticed? And so I kind of got some random answers like, you know, everybody mentioned the temple. Okay. Everybody mentioned the temple, said the temple was a lot of times was too short. And then people said, you know, the cheeks, everything hits the cheekbones. And then we got that the eye sizes were too small. So then I put together like a formal poll and I made people actually do it. You know, what we found was literally 100% people said that was one of those were the top three pain points that we identified, that the bridges were ill-fitting, the temples were too short, and the eye sizes were too small. So as I had these conclusions or these ideas, I just kept searching, trying to figure out the whole manufacturing piece. And y'all know I'm good for telling a long story. So I say this, long story short, it was the pandemic that actually propelled this business forward. So at first I didn't want to tell people what I was doing, you know, because when you get a good idea, you're like, you're in between, okay, is somebody going to steal my idea? They're not going to steal your idea.
Right.
The other thing is that, you know, you don't want to give too much away. But when I really made up my mind that I was going to do this, even though I was Googling and couldn't find answers, I started opening my mouth and talking to people and telling people what I was trying to do, you know, where I was trying to go with this. And so that was right pre-pandemic. I met some people down in Vegas. I went to Vision Expo West.
Okay.
And I had this big idea. I was going to go down there. I was going to find a manufacturer. That was my idea. You know, and I didn't find a manufacturer, but I actually connected with Terrence at the time. I don't know if you know Terrence. He was with the Vision Council. Everybody knows the optical poet. Yeah. So Terrence and I connected, and I ended up going to this speed mingling event with some higher end retail people and some designers. And I got some really good ideas at that point, but I still didn't find the manufacturer. And I kept talking to more and more people. I kept telling people, you know, what I was trying to do. And somebody would connect me with this person. And then this person would connect me with that person. Nothing came around. Finally told one of my colleagues, she connected me with somebody. And then we were able to get a prototype made. But it wasn't up to the quality that I wanted. And then boom, COVID hits. So I get this prototype in December of 2019, and here goes 2020. I'm supposed to go to Milan. That was it. So I was supposed to go to Milan.
It was March when it hit. Yeah.
I was supposed to go to Milan for, what's the one they have in Milan?
Is that Simo or something like that? Yeah.
Simo or I can't remember.
Mito, one of the two.
Mito, I think it was Mito. I was supposed to go. And literally they canceled it because Milan had the second highest cases of COVID outside of China. Canceled that. And then we were emailing. This is when I knew something was about to pop off. I told people in February that something was going to happen because we were emailing the people in China, you know, because at the time I thought I was going to use China to manufacture. Yeah. And they were saying stuff like just pray for us. That was the response to inquiry, you know, just pray for us. So there was no real answers on the floor. And then with all of the eye to eye series that we ended up doing, that's actually who I'm, how I met, who gave me the manufacturer that I used. And I ended up manufacturing in Greece, and then we met some more people. So it was really, you know, it's not something you can find. Somebody has to give you this information. And so that was the hardest part, I think, just trying to figure out how to obtain the information and kind of get into the nitty gritty of getting things manufactured.
Yeah. Well, something I love that you stated was the part about, you know, you didn't hold it in. You let it out. At first, he thought someone may take your idea. And I always have this conversation with colleagues, with mentees, with family, with friends, whoever it is. Everybody wants to hold things in. But I'm a firm believer that if you speak it into existence and everyone can hear you, number one, they're going to hold you accountable. But number two, you're going to make that magic happen, right?
I agree.
I'm a firm believer that let's just put it out there, because no one's going to execute it like you are, right? If you really want this and you really feel like you can make that change and you have that feeling inside, speak it into existence and make that magic happen and change.
And here's the reality. Yeah. The reality is this: even if 20 different brands started doing what I'm doing, it wouldn't be enough, right? The need, like for a really long time, our industry has been dominated by brands that cater to European features, and they're fly. I'm not saying that people aren't designing beautiful stuff. I'm just saying, would I squeeze myself into a pair of jeans that doesn't fit? No, but there's a million different jean companies that people can buy from. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we have options, then people can say, oh, well, I like how theirs work. And I like how theirs work. So I'm happy to see more inclusive sizing come about. You know, I'm happy to be one of the people who are just saying it out loud that, like, hey, I am bringing something different here. There is a bit of innovation here, but you know what? There's room for you to do it too, you know? And you're not going to bring what I bring because, you know.
You got flavor. You got the juice.
I got the juice for what I'm trying to do. You know, people compare brands, but again, you could, same thing. You could walk into Publix right now. There's going to be 60 bread brands. And some people will not buy Sunbeam, and some people will not buy Nature's Own. You know, they only going to buy what they like. And that's what they're going to get every time they go in. Or sometimes they switch it up. And so there's enough fans. There's enough, you know, the optical industry is growing. And there should be space for brands that want to and have more inclusive sizing. So. Yeah.
And I know there's some big brands out there that really dominate the industry, right? So I'm curious to know, what has been some of your biggest obstacles, especially when you have to compete with these big billion-dollar brands out there that, to your point earlier, they make some fly stuff, right?
They do.
You know, you put them on, you look around, people are looking at you look great. Mm-hmm. But there are some faces, a lot of times men, black and brown faces, Asian faces, that Hispanic faces where the frames just don't fit well. And yes, to your point earlier, we got to tell those patients, go look at sunglasses, make them clear lenses and throw some transitions in them. And you'll be perfectly okay, right?
Plug it. Let's do it.
Right? Right? But I'm curious to know what has been, you know, your biggest
obstacle. I think, first of all, realizing that I'm not competing with the big brands, right? Mm. I don't have the big brands' budgets. I can't compete with their MOQs. I can't compete with these kind of things. So I think the obstacle that's, I want this brand to really exist in opticals, but I also want that word to get out about what I'm trying to do. So there's two things happening here. I'm trying to educate people that, hey, there are different ways that these should or could fit you to be more comfortable. So I'm doing that. I'm trying to approach fashion, right? Because fashion, eyewear is where fashion and healthcare.
You're not trying to do either one of those things. You're killing it with the fashion and everyone's knowing about the brand, especially now because you're on the Defocus Media podcast. Optometry's number one podcast at that. You heard?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it is a fashion. It's a fashion item. Okay. Yeah. So as much as we consider it healthcare, people have to get these glasses when they need a prescription. But we do have to keep up with the fashions. And I can't expect my colleagues to buy into the brand, you know, if we're stale and we're not keeping it fashion forward. So I would say the biggest obstacle is just trying to get people, the direct consumer, right? That patient, the person who we call the patient, to understand that, hey, there's something coming up, but then also trying to get my colleagues to understand, you know, what I'm trying to do and how I'm trying to deliver it. And, but while they have to realize that I can't do what, you know, some of the bigger brands are doing. It's me, you know, man in the wheel, and I'm an emerging company. And so I think that that's been an obstacle, but also an opportunity for me to get to know some of my colleagues better. Yeah. Even, you know, just us having this conversation, you know, that's just that's a game changer. Like, you know, this is something that, yeah, we chat in the, you know, in the hallways of the school, but re-getting to introduce myself to some of these people that I've known for over 10 years now, I think has been an opportunity, not really an obstacle, but an opportunity to get to know people better and just, you know, spread the word.
Yeah. And that's what I want to continue to do. I want to continue to spread the word, right? You know, you said you're trying to create awareness, you know, to the public, to the patients, but also to the doctors, right? The eye care professionals that are out there. And I think always the best way to create awareness is really understanding your brand and having a story and being able to tell your story. So what I would like to dive into next is really you diving into the story of your eyewear brand, because I know there's meaning behind the name. I know there's meaning behind the different designs. So let's just kind of jump into that, because it's a pretty dope story, I must admit.
Okay.
I may be a little biased because I'm married to a Nigerian woman. Well, so just you know, I'll throw that out there.
I know you love Nigeria. I know how you feel about Nigeria. No. So I dig it. So Anwuli is my middle name. It means joy. My grandfather gave me that name. And so joy is my why. So that was one of the things that we talked about. What's your why? Joy, you know, joy is something that I think it comes from the inside. It's a deep feeling. It's a little bit more than happy, right? Happy is fleeting because you woke up happy. Maybe you're not happy, but joy is something that, you know, you have to really like incorporate it. It has to be a part of your lifestyle, right? It's something that comes from the inside out. And so joy is part of my why. I don't want to do it unless it's going to be a joy. And so that's part of it. Our goal is to make a statement without speaking in items that fit well. Okay. So those are the two things that we're trying to do. My first collection is the Royal Collection. So this is always the fun part. People laugh about this, but my father is the king, the traditional ruler of our town in Nigeria. So he's the Igwe. My first collection is the Royal Collection, which I named the frames after people in my family. And then we have those six, which is my mom, dad, sister Uche, my other sister Chikadale, my brother Azuka, my niece Amara, and then my mother is the first daughter in her family. She's our Ada. And then we have the Igwe frame, and then we have our love frame, which is the Ifunanya frame. This was my bestseller.
Nice.
I still have a few that can go into opticals, but we're sold out of this online. And then we have the Uche frame, which a lot of people think of as the Tab frame. Tabitha Brown wore these frames and she just rocked them. So,
but what I would love for you to do is really give a vivid description, right? Because everyone may not be watching the video of this. They may be listening to just the audio. So maybe if you could describe what that looks like as well, as far as the shape, maybe the temple sizes, you know, paint that picture, make it very vivid. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so I'll show you back my first seller. This is a double bar round frame, and it is in the color ivory with the light yellow tint. 100% UV protection. I also have 157 temples. My brand ranges from 152 to 157 on the temple sizes, and it is made out of the Masakeli acetate, so very high quality. We have this double bar here and we have the round frame, and a lot of people with the wider faces or the round faces will say, oh, I've never been able to do round. Well, you can do this round because it's actually big enough to go across your face and it doesn't get eat up by your cheekbones. And then I also have this super fun nose pad piece that has an Africa in it, which of course is just, you know, shout out to the home. And that's just one of the small details that I just love on these frames. All of my nose pads have the Africa in them. And then the Tabitha Brown frame I was showing you guys. This one's definitely, I'm not remaking this. This is a blue frame, a blue round frame. And it has gold accents on it. Again, it has that 157 temple. So it's long enough to actually go behind your ears. And this one is just a special. This is a special color, so we probably won't remake this. And this is, I'm excited to see 10, 15 years from now, people looking for this vintage and woolly frame. I love double bars. I think that they are just super cool and they're very much in style right now. So we do have this Udo frame, the piece frame.
Yeah.
And a lot of different beautiful colors here. This navy color. A lot of people always ask, like, is it unisex? And it is. Because, you know, fashion is essentially now is more so not so gender related. It's more kind of like how, you know, how do you feel and like, you know, what makes you feel fly?
You know, something I want to kind of stop you right there. Something that I've noticed and I love is the detail that you have on the temples. You can see you went the extra mile to really add a little more flair to the temples and the nose pads. I didn't even realize that you had the continent Africa inside of that. So that's a game changer as well. That is completely different.
Very nice, very lovely. And they're actually super comfortable nose pads as well. I'll say that. And then we did try to incorporate low bridge fit principles. So this is another one of my Uche frames. It's more of a matte color here.
I like that matte.
And then everything, though, you know, they're sun lenses, but they can be made into prescription lenses as well.
Gotcha. And let me ask you this. I mean, I love that electric blue that you had earlier, but when it comes to picking colors, that can also be difficult whenever you have black and brown faces, right? I have a lot of patients that come in and either they got to stick with a black frame or a brown frame, or that's essentially it, right? So how do you discover, how do you come up with the colorways when it comes to choosing these colors to match with the designs?
That is such a fun question. I think when I first started, if we're going to keep it all the way 100,
yeah,
I led with emotions. So every single color has a correlation with something. So I'll explain. Every one of the styles in the Royal Collection have an ivory color wave. And that is a shout out to royalty. African royalty would wear ivory tusk, like from elephants. They don't do that because that's not, you know, good for the elephants. So they've changed materials, but that ivory is still an indication of royalty. So every single style has an ivory color wave. Nice. Then there was some stuff that I designed just off of. So for instance, this Chicotley frame, is purple and gold. This is one of the color waves. I named this frame after my baby sister. She's also a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, like I am. And then you know that the colors for the Omegas are purple and gold. So that was kind of like, some of this stuff was super like, oh, this is where this is coming from. And again, remember that I worked in retail first. So I wasn't thinking your worldview kind of dictates what you do. And right. I think that if I had had a private practice first and I knew all of the rules that everybody works by, then I probably wouldn't have done colors like this. But now that I have done it, it really makes the brand stick out. So when I go forward, now I get to incorporate all of the things that I've learned. I get to incorporate the feedback that I'm getting back from practices when I make new color waves or as we design, you know, future collections. But I know that I'm very glad that I didn't have that information when I started, because I wouldn't have done this royal blue frame, but it is a top seller. I think I have like maybe five more of them left, you know? So, because somebody else will be like, you do this, but people are now seeing once they have the sizes and they get to have something with the flair, these frames sell. They do really well.
So let me ask you this. You have all these amazing designs, right? And they're named after all your family members, your loved ones, the ones that you love to see and hear and hug and kiss and just be around, right? Who is talking the most trash about my frame is the best out of the family? I need to know that.
Man, let me tell you. So my dad got named twice, right? Because my brother is a junior. So he got the Igwe frame, he got the King frame, and then he got the Azuka frame. So he rocks both of them. Okay. So he definitely, my dad, you know how older Nigerian parents, when I first told him I was going to be an optometrist, and he said to me, y'all, I love my dad, that's my dude. He was like, so you're going to be working in Walmart? This is what he said to me. This is before I went to optometry school. And I was like, because, you know, African parents, we didn't understand optometry, right? They didn't understand what it was. They were taking us to chains. And I said, well, I might. And then boom, how many years later, I'm working in Walmart and he bragging, oh, you know, she has her own practice. You know, she has her own eyewear line, you know, and he was a little bit afraid, you know, at first, like, oh, these names are hard. And don't you think you should cut? And I'm like, no, Dad, just I'm going to be everything that, you know, you hoped we would be. I absolutely adore my culture and I want to let it live, you know, on through some of these things and not, you know, through some of the names, the same names that you guys gave us. So he is very, very proud of me. I will say that my mom rocks her frames all the time. But let me tell you, let me just back up and tell you how hurt my feelings were. When I first started the brand, I actually didn't do like a Kickstarter. I did pre-orders, which again, if I had been in the industry or if I had been selling glasses, I never would have done it. I would have been too afraid, right? Because I learned stuff on the back end, but I wasn't afraid. I was like, oh no, my friends are going to buy this because I made this. So I put 10 frames for pre-sale and one of them was named Amaka. And when I tell you, I didn't get one order.
Oh man.
I didn't get one order on the frame that I named after myself. Oh, and I had to take it out of production. I was like, nah, you cannot. You cannot do this. So, yeah,
That's the type of stuff that'll make you quit. There, when they ain't even buy your own name, you don't name the brand even, and everything.
And my single favorite frame in this whole collection, I don't have it sitting out right now, but my single favorite frame, it didn't sell.
Yeah,
I still got a bunch of those. They sitting right there on the show, you know what I mean? So yeah. I think that has provided an awesome opportunity for me to just say, okay, well, this ain't about you, girlfriend. Yes, you have some innovation here and you'll see. And I think that people will see that, you know, they see it in the second wave of colors that I curated for the second reproduction that we did for the Royal Collection. And I think that they'll see even more of my awareness, you know, still going to be some Amaka flavor in there, but my awareness of what will work really well. We'll see that drop. I'm going to be at Vision Expo East with the next collection. So we'll see the growth.
Yeah. And, you know, I love that you touched on, you know, essentially emotion, right? When you run a business, you got to take the emotion out of it, right? You have to look at the data. You have to look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that person that's in front of you, that patient, right, that consumer that's in front of you. You got to understand their journey, right? And once you're mm-hmm. able to really hone in and lock into that, the sky's the limit, right? You can continue to produce the best products because you're actually listening to the person that's in front of you. It's no different from when we're in the exam room and we're talking to our patients. Absolutely. They're telling us what's wrong, right? Mm-hmm. All we got to do is connect the dots and find the right solutions. I mean, for you, you have completely found the perfect solution for Black and brown faces and men that got big heads like myself, right? So, you know, I really appreciate you making that happen, you know.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, I asked you earlier, what was your biggest obstacle? You know, I kind of want to reverse that. And I want to ask you, what has been your biggest win, right? Because I know you have a lot of wins because I watched your journey, I watched your career, and I've seen you just soar so high. So I'd love to know what you feel has been your biggest win so far.
There have been so many things that have occurred. And so two things stick out the most to me as I'm doing the, you know, this business. And so it's not just the one time thing. What it is the feeling I get when people put on the glasses and identify that the fit is different. And they visibly say, oh my God, that's a huge win for me because I've had, you know, I'm a people person. I remember faces. So I can remember right now, 4 different people who have literally told me they didn't wear glasses before. Oh, I don't wear shades. Shades never look good on me. Shades look good on everybody. They make you look like a rock star. So you just didn't find your fit. So that is a huge win for me. Seeing people's reaction when they actually can feel the difference of the fit. And then the second win I would say is just been refinding and recreating a community. Because I think when you're in business, like for sure, all of your friends aren't going to buy. all of your friends aren't going to want it. They're not going to need it, right? And I think that, again, you know, when you're dealing with business, as we've already said, there has to be a point where you pull back, you take some of the emotion out of it. But because I'm such a person that loves people, I have gotten a lot of gratification out of seeing my community really support me in this. My undergrad, my high school friends, my husband, my parents have gotten behind this. I have people who only now wear Ann Woolley. They won't be seen in anything else. They are really wow. true. You know, like I can't wear anything else, but everybody knows why. But to have friends that have, you know, shown up, flown to different stuff, come to pitch competitions, bought, shared, keep telling the story. It's a reminder that, you know, things can suck sometimes, but like, you got a team, like people been riding for me and they continue to do so. And just really just seeing that love. I think that would be the second biggest win. And I think because they understand the legacy that I'm trying to build for my family and for, and in part, any person that is associated with me through community, they see that. And so that's been a good win.
You just touched me, and I want to tell you why, because, you know, at the top of this conversation, you mentioned the word joy. And when you were talking, you mentioned community and you mentioned happy patients. And when you can really take your community and put them in a great place and you can really fulfill that patient, you're creating a state of joy. So mm-hmm. you might not even have realized what you were just wow. saying right now, but like your whole story, your whole package, it just makes perfect sense. And I just want to say thank you, because this eyewear line, greatly needed. I'm just happy that you got style and some flair and you could jazz it up. I'm glad you ain't come out here with some boring ass frames that fit no, the we face perfectly okay. I want to make sure that my patients can look fly and fresh and be able to see well as well. And I think you're able to add an additional layer to it, being an optometrist too.
It's definitely good.
You know what type of dialogue takes place in that exam lane. You know when you do that transfer to your eyewear consultant, you know mm-hmm. that maybe I need to start understanding my brand. I need to be able to tell that story. Because when I know my story, then I can amplify that to the other doctors, to the eyewear consultants. That way, when patients get these frames, they know what they're wearing. They know where it comes from. They understand Absolutely. The royalty flavor that they're actually getting. This is fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, work. And I thought, so be on the lookout. Our latest campaign is really called the Royal Campaign. Because again, when I first started this, I didn't know what I was doing. What's a campaign? But what we're doing next, what's coming down the lane, is a little bit of education on how these things, you know, how glasses should fit. If you don't have the problem, then, you know, you don't have the problem. Now you get to, you know, but there's a lot of people who are wearing glasses and the temples stop right here. So they slide forward. So we're going to do some education, and I think it's going to be really exciting. We're going to talk more about the Royal Fit.
So I want to touch on a couple more things before we end this show today. It's hard for me to end because I got a million questions and I just love hearing you talk as well. But I know when I go to your website, when I had a conversation with you over the weekend, one thing that you mentioned and one thing that's all over your website is really empowering dreamers to develop a clear vision. And I really would like for you to dive deep into that, because I think that's a strong line. I think that's a strong bar, right? You want to talk about, right? That's a strong bar right there. You know what I'm saying? So I'd love for you to maybe break that down in a little more detail.
So I am huge on mentorship, which, you know, that's how me and Essence met. You could drop Dr. Robinson's name or Johnson. I'm like, my bad. I'm like, you better show. Okay, put some respect on it. Okay,
Dr. Johnson don't play either. She might jump through that screen and get you.
She really don't. Girl, edit that part out, please. Okay, we doing this live, right? Okay.
Yeah, we live.
Okay, no. So Essence was a mentor to me in optometry. I already said Tiffany was a mentor to me in optometry. Before them, I've had other mentors. You know, if I start name dropping, then I'm going to forget somebody. And then, you know, when I become rich and famous, they'll replay these and everybody will be mad. But I digress. The point is this, like, people mentored me. Some of my biggest breakthroughs in career, though, came after some coaching, where I had to really get a better understanding of my mindset and what things were being propelled forward because of it and what things were being held back. So I've always had a love for mentorship, being a mentor to people and having somebody mentor me and just kind of be that safe space. So with that being said, when I started the Hour Line, people always want to know what good you're doing. You know, these people, they, when you buy this, they give them this. And, you know, if you buy a pair of shoes, they're going to give them a pair. So they wanted to know what's the good thing. And I'm like, well, I'm not giving a whole bunch of people free glasses. It's needed. Absolutely. We know people need glasses, but that's not why I'm here. You know, that's not really what my mission is. So I had to get some clarity at the end of last year about really what is your mission? And it became abundantly clear that I am here to help provide people with clear vision, not just what they can see, but also what they can imagine. And so that is a big part of Emily Eyewear. And we are helping do mindset retreats with young people, adolescents, youth, and young adults to just help them have the mindset shift to really empower their dreams and have the mindset that they need to dream big and accomplish those goals. So that's a big part of my personal mission. And that's something that I wanted to build into the fabric of the company. And somebody encouraged me, one of my cohort members, Femi, encouraged me not to wait. He said, don't wait until the company becomes profitable before you start incorporating it. And I agreed with him because I always mentor. Like, this is a big part of who I am. And so we can provide that, you know, at every level, and we can increase, you know, as the revenue increases, we want to be able to do more for people. But as we are here right now, I can offer that part of myself, helping do these mindset retreats. To date, we've done two. We did one with the Nigerian Youth Alliance Incorporated, which is one of my favorite organizations. And then this summer, we kicked off a girls' summer camp, Girls Link Up, down here in Atlanta with the Mindset Retreat as one of their opening day presentations. So it's a passion for sure. And it's something that we're going to continue. I'm going to get some of y'all on board with this when the budget gets a little bit bigger. When the budget gets a little bit bigger, we're definitely going to start trying to incorporate this, especially even into some of the stuff that you guys are doing with optometry school students with Black eye care perspectives, just really helping people understand their mindset is either holding them back or pushing them forward. Like, it's something, it's a very powerful thing, and it's something that has to be talked about.
Yeah. 100%. Well, you know, when it comes to mentorship, when it comes to coaching, I'm a firm believer that anyone that truly holds on to that and believes that, they give great advice. So what I would love to know next is, what's the best piece of advice that you would give your younger self?
My younger self, I would tell her that you are 100% worthy of the life that you want.
Ooh, talk that talk. Say that one more time. Everybody in the back can hear you.
You are 100% worthy of the life that you want. Mm. You deserve it.
I love it. For all my colleagues out there that are looking and listening and watching and tuning in, and they're like, I need this brand in my office. What's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
So if you go to the website that you have kind of scrolling here, there is a contact information, and that's still me. So if you hit me up at contact@amblyeyewear.com, we can schedule an either a virtual showroom or an in-person showroom, depending on location. We would love to come see you, but we can also do this virtually as well.
I love it.
So just reach out.
Dr. Amaka, this has been fantastic. You found a solution for a lot of patients out there that have been suffering, not just for a couple of years, but probably their entire lifetime. Patients that could never find the right pair of glasses to fit their face, so they suffered with their vision. Maybe they couldn't put contact lens in, and glasses was the only way that they were going to rock and roll. I want to thank you on behalf of the entire eye care industry
for all
the great work that you have done. And I want you to continue the work. And I can't wait to see, you know, seven lines down the road, because I know every time you design something, you're going to take it to the next level. And just make sure you stick and hold on to that mentorship piece and that joy piece and that community piece. You said so many buzzwords that can really change and elevate, you know, people's lifestyles out here, or just their life in general. So again, I want to thank you. I want to thank everyone that has tuned in this evening. For those that are listening, feel free to watch this on demand on YouTube, on LinkedIn, on all podcast platforms. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Stay healthy, stay positive, stay blessed. And until next time, peace, baby.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.